fire. And I praise the Lord for God's work in our lives. I want you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of 1 Chronicles, the Old Testament book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 16. So we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. I want to preach for a few moments tonight on a few thoughts. We've had some kind of a week this week. And I know it's been a blessed week. And I know many are tired. But I want you to hear just a few things as we look tonight. This great chapter. The Bible says, "So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. When David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread, a good piece of flesh, and a flagon of wine. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, and to record and to thank and to praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph, the chief, and next to him Zechariah, Jeiel, and Shemiramoth, and Jehiel, and Mattathiah, and Eliab, and Benaiah, and Obed-Edom. And Jeiel was with psalteries and with harps, but Asaph made a sound with cymbals. Benaiah and Jehaziel, the priests, with trumpets continually before the ark of the covenant of God. Then on the day that David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, even the covenant which he made with Abraham, and of his oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, Unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when you were but a few, even a few, and strangers in it. I want us to look and see what the Bible teaches us here concerning then on that day, the Bible says in verse number 7. And it's reminding the people, this was the day that the Ark of the Covenant was back in its place. The Ark of the Covenant, of course, is a representing the presence of God among the people. And there's some things we need to look at. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for loving us, for this time you've given to us. Lord, there's no doubt you want to bless us and you want to work in our lives. Lord, many are tired in body and in mind. Many probably have other things, Lord, trying to work their way into their mind. But tonight I pray that you would take away all secondary things, and Lord, you'd help us to get our eyes on Thee and our hearts fixed on Thee. And help us to hear from heaven. Help me to preach with power, Lord, with delight, and Lord, with an urgency. And Lord, may we see what you have to see and hear what you have us to hear. And may Christ be exalted. For it's in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. The Bible is teaching us some wonderful things here. The Ark of the Covenant is now back with the children of Israel. It had been in the house of Obed-Edom for quite some time, for 3 months, we know. What had happened was, is David and the children of Israel went to capture the Ark of the Covenant. And it wasn't in its rightful place. And we go and we see that Uzzah and the people of Israel were carrying the Ark of the Covenant. Well, it was right for David to lead the people to get the Ark of the Covenant, but it was wrong for anyone to bear the Ark of the Covenant except for one tribe, and that was the Levites. By the way, if we don't do God's things God's way, then God's not going to bless us and God's not going to work in our lives. And you can go over and you can see in chapters previous to this, in chapter number 13, how that Uzzah put forth his hand because the wrong people had a hold of the ark, because the wrong people were carrying the ark. The Bible teaches us they came to the threshing floor of Chidon and Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. So these oxen that are bearing the ark, a stumble. And see, this wasn't the way that it was supposed to be. They weren't the ones that were supposed to be touching the ark or doing this. It was the Levites. They had that responsibility. Go back, you can study it out. That's who God gave that responsibility to. And because they were disobedient to God, it was right for them to try to get the Ark of the Covenant, but it was wrong for them to try to do it not the way that God told them to do it. And when that happened, and when the oxen stumbled and the ark began to fall, Uzzah touched the ark. And God smote him right then. That's what the Bible teaches us. So David and the children of Israel, they had to reevaluate things. They had to go back and look at things in a different way. And they said, we're going to get the Ark of the Covenant back. We want the presence of God with us. And by the way, for those 3 months that the Ark of the Covenant was in the house of Obed-Edom, the Bible teaches us that God blessed the house of Obed-Edom. I'm telling you, when you have the presence of God in your life, the blessings of God come along with that. And we see that they tried to do it the wrong way. But then David says, we've got to look at this differently and we've got to do it God's way. We need to go back and see what it is God has for us. And so they go back and they go in and God blesses David and anoints him. You know, he's the anointed king. And now they go in and they get the Ark of the Covenant, and the Levites are the ones that bring the Ark of the Covenant. And that brings us to chapter number 16. We see here that they brought the Ark of God and they set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. They offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. David made an end of the offerings, of the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, and he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. He dealt to everyone, man and woman, everyone, a loaf of bread, a good piece of flesh, a flagon of wine. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the Ark of the Lord. So now they have things in order. Now they're doing the things God's way. And then David says, this is a great day in our land. This is a great day for our people. And so on that day, the Bible says in verse number 7, then on that day, the Bible teaches us that David gave a psalm to Asaph. And this psalm is something that ought to be a part of our lives. And we're not the children of Israel. We don't have the Ark of the Covenant. But I want you to know, we have a better covenant. We have a greater hope. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we look at these things and we begin to understand these things, I believe the things that David was teaching the people in this psalm is some things that we ought to have in our lives. And I want to be brief tonight. I want to just exhort us to try to do the right things. But I want us to see right here what the Bible teaches us that David was saying. It says, then on that day, David delivered this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and to his brethren. And he says, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name, and let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. If we have the presence of God, or we want the presence of God, there ought to be some things evident in our lives. Number one, there ought to be the rejoicing of God's people. There ought to be the rejoicing of God's people. The Bible says in verse number 8, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among all the people. So you know what the Bible's teaching us here? Is that I believe when we get together, we ought to be rejoicing in the name of the Lord. The Bible says among all the people. In other words, because of what God has done, because God has delivered the Ark of the Covenant back to His people Israel, and it's in its rightful place and it's in its rightful spot, because God has allowed us to have it back, we ought to be rejoicing. Well, I want to tell you something today. The Bible teaches us that where two or three are gathered in the name of the Lord, He is there in the midst of them. And when we come together, there ought to be rejoicing by giving thanks unto to His name. I believe when we come to the house of God, we ought to come with rejoicing. I believe we ought to come rejoicing because God has delivered us, because God has made a way for us, because God has given us a place, and it's a place set aside for the purpose of worshiping Him. And we need that rejoicing tonight. The Bible goes on. It says, sing ye unto the Lord. Sing psalms unto His name. You know what the Bible is teaching us? That when we come together corporately, that we ought to rejoice in our music. I believe tonight that the Bible is teaching us something wonderful here about coming together and worshiping God as a people, that there ought to be rejoicing in our music. Every song ought to be about the Lord, about heaven, about what Christ has done. You know, there's so much that's going on in the name of the Lord in churches today that I believe is a stench in the nostrils of God. There's so many things that we see happening that's just not representative of what true worship is all about. But dear friends, we see here in this blessed Old Testament story that David is encouraging the people to rejoice. He says, give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to His name. Give thanks for who He is. In the midst of the people, in the midst of the people, call upon His name and make known His deeds among the people. I believe there ought to be times where you're willing to stand up and say, I want to tell you what God has done for me. Make known His deeds among His people. Look, we all have down times, but how many of us have been delivered? You know, I think about it. I go to churches and you know what you see going on? You see everything but God. I've been to churches and they have everything for kids, you know? While the worship service is going on, they're outside playing volleyball. They're outside playing video games, you know, doing all these kinds of different things. And parents thinking that's the greatest thing in all the world, when they ought to be in there hearing about the things of God and rejoicing in God. They ought to be hearing about the deeds that God has done in their lives. Parents are letting their children die and go to hell out of a church building, not off a church pew. You know what? When I was growing up and I went to church, you want to know what I was made to do? Sit and listen. You say, well, but kids are different today. They have to have entertainment. I'm going to tell you something. That's why most of them are on their way to a devil's hell. You say, well, preacher, I don't like you being so strong about that. Look, I don't like to say that. I'm just trying to tell you the truth tonight. There is a heaven and there is a hell. And by the way, parents, you're responsible for your children and getting them to heaven. It's not my responsibility. If you have children, it's yours. You have to understand that. And part of that is bringing your kids to church. You say, well, preacher, I'm saved. Are your kids saved? Do they know the right things? Do they know about rejoicing? Do they know what it's like to go to a church where they're rejoicing? And it's not over the beat of the music, it's over the words of the music. I'll never forget, I heard people say, boy, you know, I don't know what they sang, but I liked how it sounded. And I thought, Lord, help us. Yeah, that's like rock music. Back years ago, I never liked hard rock music, but every now and then to try to just fit in, I'd try to listen to some of it, you know? And it made me sick. But I'll never forget, there were some tunes that kind of stuck in your mind, you know. Of course, you wanted to go, you know, when you was listening to it. I'm sorry, son. But I remember thinking, well, that's got a pretty neat beat. I don't know what to say, but it had a pretty neat beat, you know. Thank God we can come together and we can rejoice in the Lord. We have the presence of God. Every time we come together, the presence of God is with us. And because of that, we ought to learn to rejoice in the Lord. Now look, there's many of us come in here with burdens and with heartaches, and I understand that. But do you realize that when others start rejoicing in the Lord, those that have burdens and those that have heartaches, their spirits are lifted and their spirits are helped? And I'm telling you, it just will do something to you. I have been with people that's going through the midst of some of the most tragic events in their life, and you see what's going on. And then at the end of a service, you can tell they've been refreshed in the Lord because people were rejoicing. They were singing songs that lifted up the Lord, and they begin to think, you know, regardless of what may come my way, there's a God in heaven that's seated on His throne, and He's going to take care of it all.
Because these people, I mean, you know, there's people that's over here that's dealt with terminal illnesses, and there they are rejoicing through talking of his wondrous deeds. And here's people in the choir that's been through tragedies in marriages and tragic deaths in their life, but they're up there singing, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine." And suddenly somebody that's sitting out there going through the deep, dark valley of despair, their spirits are lifted up and they begin to think, "Hey, blessed assurance, he's mine too, and everything's going to be all right." There's a rejoicing that ought to be taking place in the house of God and around the things of God. The Bible teaches us to glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. This is what I'm convinced of tonight, that we ought to come to the house of God seeking his presence, seeking his praise, seeking his purpose with our lives. When we walk through the door, we ought to come through expecting God to meet us there and to be with us. And by the way, he's with you in the car. He's with you in your house. But there's something special about coming together as God's people. And here the children of Israel were rejoicing and they were glorying. The Bible says that we're to glory in his holy name and let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Boy, when I come to the house of God, I come expecting God to do something, don't you? I would hate to think that I came and I was going to preach Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and think, well, you know, it's just what I got to do. I'd quit. I'm going to tell you something. It wouldn't be worth it if it was just what I got to do. Look, I'm in this thing for the Lord. It's not about what I got to do. It's what I want to do. But the reason I want to do it is because I know when I do what God wants me to do, I'm going to be able to rejoice in what he does. I preach and I'm expecting results. But the results are up to the Lord. You know, it took me a long time to get that through my head. Because I used to think, you know, I'd preach and give an invitation. Then I look out and I think, yeah, everybody's sitting there about like this. You know, they're sitting there thinking, I wonder who won the ball game. Oh, John, he's probably on the 17th hole by now. Man, I know temperature's just right. That water's just right. If I was fishing right now, I'd have probably pulled in 4 or 5. I know what somebody's thinking of. You know what I'm talking about. And sometimes you do that, but you know, if I do what I'm supposed to do, and you do what you're supposed to do, I'm going to get what God has for me, and you're going to get what God has for you. Now, if you're one of those that's sitting there thinking about everything else, you're going to miss out on some things. But every now and then, God will break through on you, you know? I've known people that's come to the house of God, you know, just because they were doing it as a favor to somebody, and before they knew it, they found themselves in the altar, asking God to forgive their sin, to come in their life, to be their Savior. You know, I've seen things happen in people's lives. They come to the house of God and people start rejoicing about who Jesus is and what the Lord's done. And all along the way, they've heard two people talking, and over here they said, "Boy, I want to tell you what God did for me this week." And here's this lost person over here, and they're listening to what these two people are saying. And somebody says, "Yeah, boy, God's been so good to us. God met with us this week in this meeting, and he spoke to my heart. I made some decisions for him. I'm so excited about what God has before me." And this guy sitting over here, lost as a goose, don't know what in the world's going on, and he's sitting there thinking, "Boy, something's real to them. I'd like to get a hold of a little bit of something like that. I know I thought about going golfing this morning, but I came for old John over there, and now I'm here, and boy, I mean, this sounds pretty good." But I want to tell you something. When the people of God aren't doing what God wants us to do, when we're not doing God's thing, God's way, and we come to the house of God and we're sitting there and we're clipping fingernails and filing fingernails and twiddling our thumbs and looking around and flipping through song books and we're sitting there talking during everything that's going on. And by the way, some people, they can't hear and they think they're talking quietly and the whole world can hear them. And before you know it, there's more people listening to you than listening to me. Amen, preacher. Stay right there. No, I think I'll move on. But anyway, you got all these things going on and that lost person is sitting there on that pew and they think, "Boy, these people aren't interested. They just like me. They're here because they have to be, because they go to that church, you know?" But boy, when you come in and you glory in his name and you sing songs unto Him, and you sing hymns, you sing psalms and songs unto the Lord, and you talk of His wondrous works, and you glory in His name, the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. The Bible says in verse number 11, seek the Lord and His strength, seek His face continually. There ought not be a day in our life, a moment in our life, we're not seeking God. I come to the house seeking the Lord. But by the way, when I'm going to my house, I'm seeking the Lord too. Now, I'm not saying I do that all the time, but the Bible teaches me I need to be doing it continually. There are times I just need to seek the Lord. I need to be looking for Him. Well, I better move on. I told you I was going to be quick tonight. But I say that all the time. You know me better. Not only do we need to rejoice on that day, the Bible teaches us well to remember. Remember, notice what the Bible says in verse number 12. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. O ye seed of Israel, His servant, ye children of Jacob, chosen ones. He is the Lord our God, and His judgments are in all the earth. I believe we ought to remember the things that God's done for us in the past. Now look here. It says, remember His marvelous works that He hath done. Children of Israel had a great heritage. You remember they were in captivity and God delivered them. You remember they were walking in the wilderness and God split the Red Sea. They disobeyed God, had to spend 40 years in the wilderness. You remember that? 40 years in the wilderness. And then God said, all right, He killed everybody. It was 20 years old and older, and none of them were still alive except for two people. You remember that? Joshua and Caleb. And then the Bible teaches us that after all those died, Moses, he didn't even get to go in because he disobeyed God. Now, he belonged to God. Canaan is not heaven. Canaan is victory, so remember that. And so Moses goes to be with the Lord, and by the way, we don't even know where he's buried. That's an interesting story in itself, isn't it? By the way, the Bible teaches us that devil and Michael, they was fighting about it over in the book of Jude. You go read it. It's pretty neat, you know, to think about that. But we go on and we see that Moses didn't get to go in. He got to look. He didn't get to go in, but there was a man named Joshua. Took him across the Jordan. And the Jordan stood up. The water stopped and they walked through on dry ground. And God delivered them. Remember His wondrous works. Can I ask you something? Do you remember the day that God saved you? Do you remember the day you passed from death unto life? Look, you ought to think about it every day of your life. Where would I be today had not God saved me? Had not God pulled me out of the miry pit, out of that horrible pit, out of the miry clay? Where would I be? I'm telling you, I'd either be in hell or I'd be on my way to hell. But God, in His wondrous mercy, He brought me through the Red Sea on dry ground, and He delivered me. Though the devil was hot on my trail, he was chasing after me. I'm telling you, the chariots of hell were running behind me, and here I was. The hell was behind me, and the Red Sea was in front of me, and I had a choice to make. I couldn't look to the right. I couldn't look to the left. There was no way of deliverance there. Behind me was trouble. In front of me was the sea. Had one place to look, and I looked up, and God split the Red Sea, and I was able to cross through on dry ground. The devil, he tried to chase after me, but God said, no, he belongs to me now. You can't have him. And He closed down the water on the old devil. I'm telling you this evening, we ought to remember what God has done for us. We ought to remember what God's done for us. You remember that time you was going through to the valley of despair and God answered your prayer? You say, well, He's not answered any of my prayers. You better not say that. If you're saying that, then there's something wrong in our life. If God's not answering any of our prayers, there's something wrong in our lives. Many of us have been through some of the deepest trials that you can possibly imagine. I could tell you stories one where, honestly, I thought my wife and I were both going to lose our wits. We were at the end of ourselves. Was ready to give up on the things of God. I was to that point. I can't answer for her. I was to the point where I said, oh, Lord, I'll not preach again. I'll never pastor again. I'll go to a church and I'll sit on the pew But I can't hurt like this again. I can't go through this. 2 or 3 days of my little pity party down in the dumps. God said, "Who saved you?" I said, "You did. Who called you?" And I said, "Okay, I surrender." He was helping me to remember what He had done for me. And sometimes we just need to look back and remember. Remember what we were. Remember where we were headed. And remember what God has done for us. There were times, one time when we thought Joe was going to die. For 6 weeks. 6 weeks solid. Never held one meal in his body. I'm telling you, you could have put a pencil up next to him and not seen him. He was that small. Just what, 4 years old? 3 or 4 years old? 3? So concerned. We didn't even tell people what we thought it was. Our hearts were broken. I'll never forget thinking, he's going to die. Go to the doctor and said, he's lost so much weight. And then they come, we take him to a specialist, they say, he's got a tumor. It's a mass in his stomach. Not healthy. Look, he'd eat a cracker. And he'd get so sick you'd think he had ate steak and baked potatoes. It would be that much. It's just terrible. And we tried everything. We were in Detroit. I'll never forget, we was going through that. And we had people up there praying. So we take him back to this specialist. And boy, we just called upon God. God, you're going to have to do something. And they come out and they say, well, we don't know what's happened. But we can't find anything. By the way, he started eating right then. He's not stopped since. Amen. Me and him, we just join right in. We sit down and out eat each other. Started holding things down. What a time. Remember? You remember that? You remember? Grandma and Papa, y'all remember that? Sometimes we just need to remember what God's done for us. Amen. And he starts thinking, what about when he don't heal? We just remember God's always right. Amen. Oh yeah, God's healed. But we've lost some precious friends in our life. We've lost some people we really cared about in our life. We just have to remember, I'll never lose God. Amen. And He'll never lose me. Then on that day, there they are, the presence of God. David says this is a day to be rejoicing in. This is a day to remember. But then I want you to see thirdly. The Bible says, the Bible says in verse number 15, be ye mindful always of His covenant, the word which He commanded to 1,000 generations, even the covenant which He made with Abraham and of His oath done to Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. Saying unto thee, will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when you are but a few, even a few, and strangers in it. We need to be rejoicing. We need to remember. But then I think sometimes we need to be reminded that there's a God in heaven that's made a covenant with His people. He said, but preacher, this is talking about the children of Israel. It certainly is. But I want you to know, if you go in the Old Testament, you're going to find out Jesus said, I came and I fulfilled all the law. I came and I took care of the old that I might bring the new. The old covenant was with the children of Israel, but the new covenant is with all who believe. And here it is. Whosoever believeth in me should not perish, but have everlasting life. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. What is it? What do we need to be reminded of? For He hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. What else, preacher? I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world. What else? For God so loved the world. Red, yellow, black, white. That He gave His only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. What else? Well, it's appointed unto men once to die. It's a promise from God. It's a covenant. God's made. Death's coming. Or we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. What kind of covenant has God made? That we're to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. We need to be reminded that we belong to God when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. And that when we put our faith in Christ, God makes a covenant with us. It's not a contract. It's a covenant. And by the way, this covenant is not really with us. It's a covenant between God the Father and God the Son. And the moment we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God places us in that covenant, and guess what He does? He seals it with the Holy Spirit of promise. You know who can break that seal? Only the rightful heir, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You know when that seal is going to be broken? It's when He brings us home and He'll take hold of His possession. Let's be reminded of what we have. The Ark of the Covenant had been away from the children of Israel. They really didn't think about it throughout some of the times. But when it was brought back and they began to realize the presence of God, David said, "This is a time. God's given me a psalm. I'm going to write this psalm down. It's a time. We ought to be rejoicing because of the presence of God. We ought to remember some things because of the presence of God. And we ought to remind ourselves of some things because of the presence of God. God has given us a covenant. He'll not break it." Dear friends, remind yourself of that. He's not broken His covenant with the children of Israel. They're going to have their day. God's not through with them yet. You know, I don't understand how everything works and how everything happens. They have to put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, just like I did, in order to be a Christian and go to heaven. But there's going to be a day that God's going to regather all them together, and that they're going to realize they rejected the Messiah 2,000 years ago. They're going to have an understanding of that. You want to know why? Because God made a covenant with them. And He'll not break that covenant. Just like He won't break that covenant with us, that we have eternal life. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? Then on that day, I have sensed the presence of God. And I'm telling you, because of that, I want to rejoice. I want to remember. And I want to remind myself of these things. "Where two or three are gathered in my name," He said. What'd He say? What'd He say when He said, "If two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be in the midst of them"? There's not one time we come together that God's not here. We need to be reminded of that. He said, "Why do we need to be reminded of that?" Because I believe it'll change how we view our services. It'll change how we sing a song. It'll change how we present ourselves. It'll change how we teach a class. It'll change everything we do, because we realize God said, "I'll be there." And He's here. Covenant. Promises. What God's given to us. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for loving us, and I thank You for this time. Pray for those that need to come forward tonight. Lord, some may need to come and just rejoice.